This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, the business of America's small business. Here's Gene Marks now, our small business columnist at the UK and US edition of the Guardian newspaper, as well as our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, other distinguished publications. Welcoming Gene back from far Texas, PHARR, which is going to give us a glimpse of the future. At the same time, Gene's going to relax around stories of how far south were you, Gene? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Yeah, you know, very south. The town of Far Texas, I don't even know how big a population it has. Not a super small little town, but it's still a little town. And it is so far south in Texas, John, it is connected to Mexico by a bridge. I was there actually not to speak, but for a client project. I was there for a few days. So I got to spend a few days not only talking to my client, but also, you know, people that they do business with, small businesses in that area, because it's fun to find out how things are going. Now, my client they're in the construction business. And I found it interesting that, you know, the construction business in South Texas is struggling. And the biggest reason why they're struggling, John, is immigration. Far Texas as a town, it's the population is literally 95% Latino or Hispanic. They are on the border with Mexico. The companies there and all of the federally funded and non-federally funded projects that are happening, you know, in Texas, they rely on workers with sometimes dubious or non-existent documentation. And we read about how, you know, immigration and ICE is doing, but you know in Far and in other towns along, you know, Texas, in the southern part of Texas, they're on ground zero in the immigration fight. And many of the people I talked to said that the workers there, even if they have the proper documentation, are afraid to leave their homes for fear of just being inadvertently rounded up and being caused sorts of trouble. So the workers don't go to work. The construction companies can't find, you know, workers to do the work. And unfortunately, the you know, construction companies then slow down. And my company, which, you know, sells supplies for construction companies, also slows down because, you know, all the projects themselves have been that slow. Another thing I thought was really interesting about being down there in Texas, John, is I don't know if you know, but the immigration and ICE, they built a border checkpoint about 50 miles inside of Texas. There's one road that goes from Far and it goes north, you know, up to San Antonio and Austin. I think it's Route 281. And I was driving it, you know, and it was a good 50 miles away when you were brought to a complete stop for an immigration stop point. And they had all the trucks go to one side with buses. They were being checked thoroughly if there was any people being secreted in. And then cars went through other lanes as well. It wasn't even at the border. It was deep inside of Texas where the checkpoints are going on. So, you know, the immigration wars are pretty hot down there. And, you know, what I'm seeing is a lot of small businesses, particularly those that rely on immigrant workers, they are struggling right now because of this.
We go to Atlanta, Georgia, where you have another glimpse of the future, this with steelmakers. Who are they?
Yeah, so this was it's a steel manufacturers group that was there. They meet every year. I've spoken to them. This is my third year speaking to them. They're, I don't know, God, 1,500 people there. All of them, people all throughout the whole chain of command in the steel industry, manufacturers, distributors, suppliers, service people, and all of that. The steel industry itself, like so many other industries, have been bopping along, not going gangbusters. A lot of it depends on new construction, home building, and commercial things that use steel, as well as products that use steel. So, you know, the economy itself, depending on, you know, who they're selling into, some have been doing better than others. But, you know, they've all been happy with tariffs. I mean, the steel industry is being protected because of a lot of the tariffs that are being implemented, starting in the Biden administration and going through the Trump administration. So that's been good news for them. It's helped them, be that much more competitive. You know, we have the whole argument about tariffs and how it impacts people negatively, but there are some industries that, you know, like steel is, are positively impacted. So there was a lot of buzz around that. The other buzz was about AI, John. I spoke about AI. But the interest in the steel industry isn't so much about using Microsoft Copilot or Grok or ChatGPT. Their interest is all the data centers that are being built around the world. And even when I was there speaking, it was announced that Warren Buffett's company had made a big investment in U.S. steel, that week, mainly because, these companies are needed to provide steel to all the buildings going up to house all these servers and all these data centers to support AI. And, you and I talk about AI and its impact on small business, and our discussions actually have really just been about the software and the productivity and all of that, which is cool. But let's not forget that, AI itself is a $100 billion industry, and data centers themselves are going up. Firms that make the infrastructure behind these AI software programs, the networking firms, cabling, wiring, service providers, these are all small and mid-sized companies that get involved. So it's not just an industry like AI, helping people be more productive. It is literally creating more work and more jobs for people to keep up with the demand.
U.S. economy grew faster in the second quarter, writes the Wall Street Journal. New estimate, consumer spending growth in AI added to GDP revision. That's what you saw, Gene, that headline.
Yeah, I mean, U.S. spending is on AI. I guess they're spending it on software and technology, and I think that's fine. I'm dubious about some of those numbers, John. I mean, when you talk about consumer spending on AI, what consumers are spending on it? Are you? You subscribe to what Claude is what you use, right?
Anthropic, and I've added Grok.
Yeah, so so you're paying $20 a month for each of those. I mean, I guess that's
30 a month. 30 a month.
30 a month. So that's what's fueling some of that, and I do get that. Although, the vast majority of users of these chatbot programs are free. Making use of the free software.
Sure.
I'm not really sure. I do know that manufacturing itself has been picking up in the U.S., which is good news. This was a latest PMI numbers for a purchasing managers index. Actually showed that manufacturer grew. It was like the largest rise, monthly rise since May of 2022. This was in this past July. So that's that's good news because manufacturers are picking up and consumers continue to spend. Even though prices are rising, for the most part, wages are keeping, up with pricing. And because of that, consumers themselves are also buoyed by the stock market, which is at all-time highs. So the U.S. consumer is still walking around with a little bit of swagger, John, and they're still spending their money, and manufacturing itself is still moving its way up. And yeah, I guess there's some technology involved, but I think it's just more consumer spending. The U.S. consumer is not letting up yet.
There's a lot of selling going on, Gene. I can hear it because there are price differences that can be offered by the retailers and by the wholesalers so that it's possible to find deals on everywhere because they can eat the tariff or pass on the tariff depending upon their customer.
They can. I tell you, who is really will be really interesting to watch, John, is, is the impact of this low value, tariff exemption expiring. It's ending on, today, on Friday.
The de minimis stuff.
The de minimis stuff, if anything that is right. Before up until today, anything that was bought under $800 wouldn't be subject to a tariff. Now it's all going to be subject to tariff. Now that impacts small businesses, even small online resellers, where people are buying stuff and a lot of these goods are coming from China and it's under that $800, number. So now tariffs are going to increase those prices, no doubt. And that should be an interesting impact on a lot of those small businesses that are relying on that de minimis stuff. And the big winners, and this gets back to what you just brought up, are the big box retailers. Walmart and Target and, Home Depot and Lowe's, they have economies of scale. They have purchasing agreements. They have purchasing power. They do have the ability to limit price increases and offer, much more better deals. And I think they're really going to be the winners in this tariff war that's going on right now. And, I think small business owners that have not diversified their products or their supply chain, I think many of them are going to be hurting over the next year or so.
Gene Marks, back from far Texas in Atlanta, Georgia. We're turning to small business. There's good news here as well. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.